BetRivers Sportsbook wants you to be in control of your football bets. That's why players love the same game parlays at BetRivers. Same game parlays let you mix and match player props and game bets and gives a payout boost to the winning combinations you want to root for. Combine two bets or combine many. You pick your confidence level and then watch the game unfold. Bet on same game parlays at BetRivers.com or download the BetRivers app. Presented by Rivers Casino Pittsburgh. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Steelers coming off a bye. I like their chances better going into the bye than coming out of it based on what I saw from Cleveland. Oh, and from Cincinnati, too. Penguins scoring and winning without their stars. Pitt beats Clemson. Mark Madden joins me right now to talk about all that and more. The Madden Monday podcast brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook, offering same-game parlays and all pro football matchups. Bring back their Reduce the Juice promotion on game days. They did it. This NFL season, they have a $1 million Beat the Spread challenge with thousands of dollars given away each week. Pro football betting is more rewarding at BetRivers. Download the app or go to BetRivers.com to bet. Mark, Steelers going into the bye, I liked where they were better than they are coming out of it because I saw what Cleveland did without most of its roster against the Denver Broncos, and I think they can do that to the Steelers. What do you think?
Jim, all that really matters is the Penguins took the Toronto Maple Leafs, an old-timey nostalgia used-to-be club, and beat the hell out of them 7-1. Liverpool Football Club took Manchester United, an old-timey used-to-be nostalgia football club, and beat them 5-0. So all is definitely right in the world as we get ready for the Steelers and Browns at Cleveland. In terms of the Steelers and their chances in the AFC North and indeed against Cleveland this week, they're not going to beat Cleveland. I know Cleveland has injuries and who knows about Baker Mayfield, but that team's not based on Baker Mayfield. That team's based on the running game. And they can run no matter who's at running back. If a lineman or two are hurt, that's just their game. That's what the Cleveland Browns do. So the Steelers aren't going to lose to Cleveland, and Cleveland's going to run the crap out of the ball. I may change my mind twice, three times during the week, but that's the way I feel now.
I think that's how you should feel, and I think that should be your opinion throughout the week because I think that's what's going to happen. And to your point, their ability to run the ball regardless of who the back is because of their line, well, one, that mitigates whoever the quarterback is, Case Keenum versus Baker Mayfield, and two, it's something that exacerbates a weakness of the Steelers right now, which is run defense because they can't tackle and they don't have an answer for the absence of Alualu and Tuitt.
Well, I don't think Case Keenum's that bad either.
Right.
I mean, who would you rather have a quarterback, Tim? Be honest. Case Keenum or Ben Roethlisberger? Ben right now.
Yeah, probably Keenum.
I'd rather have Sam Darnold, but that ship sailed.
Yeah, well, I'd rather have Aaron Rodgers, but as you wrote in the trib, that's probably going to wind up with him being a Cleveland Brown quarterback before a Steelers quarterback.
Well, Tim, my column had suggested the Steelers field if the Browns get Rodgers. That's ridiculous. It's no less ridiculous than the idea of the Steelers getting Rodgers.
You know, I still think they do get two wins against those two NFC North teams that aren't any good, Chicago and Detroit, but then that just gets them to 5-4 at that point, Mark, and they got another game against the Bengals coming up, and my gosh, the Bengals look like they might be the best team in the division after that win against Baltimore.
If the Steelers really want to make some noise, if they want to give legitimacy to their playoff campaign, they got to win at Cleveland because it is a winnable game. I don't think it's going to happen, but it is a winnable game. And if you get to 6-3, then you can kind of grease your way in. You can, you know, just manage your record till you get in at 9-8.
And I think what Cincinnati did is a harbinger of things to come for what they're going to do against the Steelers when the Steelers go back to Cincy. I mean, usually they play better in Cincy than they play the Bengals at Heinz Field, but that was a statement win, I thought, for the Bengals after the Ravens just had one of those themselves against L.A. the week before.
Well, plus, we have to quit pretending the Steelers are a good team. They're just not a good team.
Their defense now is just as much of a question as their offense was. In fact, I've got questions about how their defense holds up with the lack of depth along the front seven and the questions they've got at linebacker. I mean, all of a sudden, they're replacing Devin Bush with Robert Spillane voluntarily. They didn't want to do it last year. They had to. Now they're doing it because they feel like it's a better option.
That says a lot about Devin Bush, doesn't it?
I think he's on the road to being a bust, don't you?
On the road. He's on the exit ramp.
Let's get to the Penguins, Mark. Not only are they winning without Crosby and Malkin and some of the other star players, but they're scoring a hell of a lot more than I ever thought they could.
Yeah, that Toronto game was ridiculous. I mean, you got Marcus Pedersen with, what was it, 3 or 4 points?
3 points, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, I think they took an assist away from him. I mean, you know, that's good. Who wants to pressure him to have 4 points every game? But, yeah, they played great. I mean, I think Toronto sucks. And it was their second game in two nights. And I just don't have any faith Toronto will ever live up to their talent level. It's a poorly assembled team despite being top-heavy at the forward position. They committed suicide for winning a cup when they signed John Tavares for too much and too long. And they should have signed defensemen. But it's still a formidable team, especially when you're missing, what was it, Tim Crosby, Malkin, Rust, Letang, Jeff Carter. I mean, how do you win that game? But they not only did, but they won 7-1. That's absurd. I will say, if the Penguins have to keep playing without those big names mentioned, they're going to obviously lose a bunch of games at some point. But this team is focused and more systematic than I've ever seen it. Well, not ever seen it, but I've seen it quite some time. They're playing the way they need to play to win.
The other thing is, Jari hasn't been bad either, and they're helping him out for sure, but at the same time, he's been pretty sharp himself.
He hasn't lost games. And one thing I've noticed is they're playing as if they don't trust him. You know, they're going the extra mile with defensive system. They're blocking shots. They're doing it in front of the net. You know, they're not putting him in bad situations. They're playing as if they do not trust Tristan Jarry, and I agree with that. They shouldn't.
And the only game still, despite those efforts, that they haven't scored was the Dallas game, and Dallas went to great efforts to play a certain style themselves, and that style was to pack it in and block a bunch of shots.
Yeah, and they still got a point out of that.
Yeah, they did. They got all the way to overtime, and Jarry was very good in that game. I thought, well, he only had like 29 saves, but he was still better than Holtby, and Holtby was good enough. But that said, again, another point, another game. And if they can keep accumulating points, then all of a sudden this 8-game homestand is going to look a heck of a lot better by the end of it, Mark, than I thought it would going in.
Well, that's the ironic thing about that route of Toronto. Toronto came out playing like the Penguins usually do, trying to score. And the Penguins just, you know, played good defense and took advantage.
I was in for you, Mark, on Wednesday, the day after the sellout streak was officially ended. And boy, David Morehouse sure went to great efforts to make it sound like it was strictly a pandemic-related issue. Do you agree with that?
Well, yeah, what are you going to say?
I wouldn't expect them to say anything else. I just wonder how much in their hearts they believe it.
Well, I think it is primarily a pandemic-related issue, but I think part of it is the stars are not available to start the season. They had a very disappointing playoff. Nobody really looks at them as Stanley Cup winners, you know, the potential that they can, you know, add a 6th cup. So, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons the sellout streak ended. And, you know, it's not an indictment of the team or an indictment of the fans. It's just the way it goes. It's just over now.
Mark, let's get to Pitt beating Clemson. That's not a surprise to me. Clemson stinks. Pitt's the better team right now. I don't think they have a roster full of better players, not a roster full of better recruits, but they're better. That's exactly what should have happened at Heinz Field on Saturday.
Well, I don't know if they're better or not, but they played better. They were very worthy winners. And Kenny Pickett's an excellent quarterback. I don't buy that he's a Heisman finalist, let alone a winner. I don't buy that he's a first-round pick. He's a very good college quarterback. He'll be a very competent professional backup who will start X amount of games. The problem is that every time Pitt does something, after not having done something for so long, we overreact gratuitously. Kenny Pickett's real good. I mean, it's funny because when you say he's not a Heisman contender, it's looked upon as a gratuitous insult. But he's not a Heisman contender. He won't go to New York, I don't think. Do you?
I think he potentially could finish in the top 5 or even 3 if Pitt wins the ACC and he plays as well in every game as he did just now against Clemson. But I think so long as Alabama doesn't lose again or even plays well against Georgia in the SEC championship game, I think the Alabama quarterback is the kid that's in position to win it.
Well, and again, not knocking Kenny Pickett, but I don't think he has the speed or athleticism to be a first-round pick the way the league is now, do you?
No, I don't. I think that quarterbacks get overvalued, overhyped, and people tend to bring out the optimism around whatever a quarterback can do, especially when there's a dearth of options in the first round. He might get overvalued into being a first-round pick, but I think he'd be a good quarterback value in the second or third round, Mark, but maybe a first-rounder, that sounds like a stretch to me.
I'd love to see the Steelers get him just for the storyline.
You don't think that would just be a bigger version of what happened with James Conner?
Oh, it would be a better version of what happened with James Conner.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, what about what happened to Penn State? Did you catch how that overtime went, and what'd you think of it?
It's dumb. As soon as I heard how it went, I stopped paying attention. It's dumb.
I don't know why they bothered changing it. Most people like that format. I like that format. And the one thing they wanted to change, Mark, was the risk to the student athletes for continuing to play for so long and trim down the length potentially of overtimes. Well, both avenues just went longer anyway. I mean, they're switching ends of the field and taking all that time in between these two point conversions. It was a bust in pretty much every way.
It was just dumb. That's something I can say about it. There are certain things that occur that make me lose interest in something. That makes me lose interest in college football. It's like baseball with the three true outcomes and the idea of what do they call it, the opener, where a relief pitcher starts and the bullpen pitches the game?
Yes, and also when they have a ghost runner that goes to second base in extra innings, too.
Well, that doesn't bother me because it gets the game over with quicker. But my point is, there's certain things that happen that make me not watch the game. And they can do what they want. It's their game, but I'm not going to watch it. And this two-pointer overtime crap in college football just usurps my interest. I don't care.
Last thing, Mark, on Pitt. Do you think that they lose one of their last five games against inferior opponents?
You only can play who you're scheduled to play, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm not criticizing the schedule. It is what it is. It's an ACC schedule. I just know how Pitt usually is after they get what feels like a high-water moment in the season. They undercut their own momentum in some way, shape, or form. I feel like it's entirely possible, even though they're better than all five of these remaining teams, that they lose one.
Well, Tim, they're ranked 17th now, right?
They are, yes.
Okay, they lead the ACC, and they just beat Clemson, and they're still 17th. So obviously they're not being taken very seriously yet, correct?
Correct.
Good for them. I'm overjoyed. I mean, the Pitt people, they can thump their chest, and I don't know what to say because I think they're a number 17 ranked team with a pretty good quarterback, and that's as far as I will go.
Mark, we'll wrap up with this. You sound a little hoarse. Is that from yelling at the Rod Stewart concert, or is that from screaming for Liverpool's victory?
No, I'm just sick. I'm just, every time I travel, I get sick. I have a congested chest. I don't know. I may have to stop traveling. Seriously, I've thought about maybe this is just it for me in travel because this happens far too often. But, Liverpool 5, United 0 was tremendous. The Penguins winning was tremendous. The Ron Stewart shows were tremendous. I caught a soccer ball, Tim. I caught one of the soccer balls he boots to the crowd. That's my 30-something show. I've seen over 30 Ron Stewart shows. And the first one I saw was 46 years ago. It's the first time I caught a ball. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, I didn't know that was a tradition. I didn't quite catch that tweet that you sent out where you were holding the soccer ball. I didn't know that was the case. So he does that every show, huh?
Well, I don't know if he's done it every show I've been at, but he's done it more often than not.
Oh, okay. And you got it signed, or was it signed in advance?
No, it was signed when he kicked it out there.
Oh, nice. Good hands by you then, huh?
Well, it was funny because the lady next to me caught one too. I got the first one. He only kicked five balls into the crowd. So I thought we were like Van Dyke and Matt up in the middle of that Liverpool defense. Now shot not pass.
Mark, thanks. Feel better. Get home safe.
I make no guarantees, Tim.
Mad Monday here on Trib Live.